We're going to read two verses in unison this morning. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. If you have a King James Bible, 1 Peter chapter number 5, verses 5 and 6. And let's read together in unison. If you see someone who does not have a Bible, please share with them your Bible. I'll wait till you get there. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verses 5 and 6. Let's read together, shall we? Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. I'm going to talk to you this morning about being clothed with humility. Clothed with humility. And let's pray. Dear God, we do thank you, Lord, for loving us. We thank you, Lord, for salvation that we have, the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for a perfect, inerrant, inspired book that we have in our hands today. I thank you, dear God, that we have a group of people that love you and love people. I thank you, dear God, for our church, and I pray that you bless these folks who have just recently gotten saved, recently been baptized, recently been coming and being faithful. Thank you for being such a wonderful God and doing such a mighty work in this place. Dear God, please bless this morning, this preaching, this sermon, this Bible study on being clothed with humility. Help us to pay attention. Help us not to be distracted. Help us not to be a distraction, please. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Mr. Webster, in the Webster's 1828 dictionary, which is the one I use, says humility in ethics is freedom from pride and arrogance, humbleness of mind, a modest estimate of one's own worth. In theology, humility consists in lowliness of mind, a deep sense of one's own unworthiness in the sight of God, self-abasement, penitence for sin, and submission to the divine will. Proverbs 15:33 says, "Before honor is humility." Paul, in Acts 20, verse number 19, said he was serving the Lord with all humility of mind. Humility is an act of submission. Just because someone can smile does not mean that they are humble. Just because someone is pleasant does not mean they are humble. Just because someone is friendly does not mean they are humble. Just because someone is giving does not mean they are humble. Just because someone says, "I love you," or "thank you," does not mean they are humble. Just because someone has manners, it does not mean that that someone is humble. Just because someone is polite does not mean they are humble. Just because someone prays does not mean they are humble. Just because someone reads the Word of God does not mean they are humble. Just because someone comes to church does not mean they are humble. Just because someone works or helps out in the ministry does not mean they are humble. Just because someone tithes does not mean that they are humble. Just because someone sings religious songs does not mean they are humble. Just because someone treats other people with respect does not mean they are humble. Just because someone is a good leader or a good provider does not mean they are humble. Just because someone follows or obeys their authority does not mean they are humble. Just because someone is willing to die for a cause or for a religion does not mean they are humble. Just because someone is saved does not mean they are humble. They had to be humble to be saved, but just because you're saved does not mean that you're humble now. Just because someone has the right doctrine does not mean they are humble. Just because someone goes to an independent, fundamental, separated, Bible-believing Baptist church does not mean that they are humble. Just because someone preaches or teaches a good sermon does not mean that they are humble. Just because someone is a pastor, an evangelist, or a missionary does not mean that they are humble. Just because someone is on staff at a church or a Bible college does not mean that they are humble. Just because someone is a Sunday school teacher or a deacon does not mean that they are humble. Just because someone is a soul winner does not mean that they are humble. Just because someone says amen in church does not mean that they are humble. Just because someone believes that the King James Version is inspired does not mean that they are humble. Just because someone has the right music standards does not mean that they are humble. Just because someone has the right dress standards does not mean that they are humble. Just because someone is quiet does not mean that they are humble. Just because someone helps out does not mean that they are humble. Just because someone is hospitable does not mean that they are humble. Just because someone sheds a tear does not mean that they are humble. Just because someone uses self-deprecating humor does not mean that they are humble. And just because someone speaks in soft tones or a whisper does not mean that they are humble. Humility does not talk back to their authority. Humility does not gossip about others. Humility does not criticize someone when they are not present. Humility does not boast of themselves. Humility does not look for scapegoats. Humility is willing to take the blame. Humility is letting others go first. Humility is asking for forgiveness from others. Humility does not loot. Humility does not rob. Humility does not burn buildings. And humility does not cause mayhem. Humility does not retaliate. Humility does not rejoice at someone's hurt or devastation. Humility lowers oneself and raises everyone else. Humility is not unkind, and humility is not disrespectful, and humility is not discourteous, and humility is not disingenuous. But I will say this, if a person rejects Jesus Christ as your Savior and being born again, they are not humble. If a person does not get baptized by immersion after they're saved, they are not humble. If a person does not faithfully attend an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, separated Baptist church, they are not humble. If a person does not tithe, they are not humble. If a person is not a soul winner, they are not humble. If a person does not have the right music standards, they are not humble. If a person does not have the right dress standards, they are not humble. If a person does not read their Bible on a daily basis or a regular basis, they are not humble. If a person does not spend time on their knees in prayer daily, they are not humble. If a person thinks that they are humble, they are not humble. I mean, whoever was qualified to preach or teach on a subject, read my book on humility and all about it. No one can ever reach that level and reach that state and say, I am now humble. I've reached that level of humility. It's impossible. So you have sinners preaching to sinners about almost unattainable subjects, ladies and gentlemen. It's like I believe one person said, the people who are going through revival don't know they're going through the revival because they're too busy working. The people 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years later will write about what a revival those people that were too dead tired and working had. If you think we're going through a revival right now, we're not going through a revival. And if you think you're humble right now, you're not humble. Salvation, point number one. I have a point. It will be pride that rejects Jesus Christ as their Savior and being born again. It will be someone's pride that will send that person to hell for all eternity. It will be someone's pride that makes them think that they're not that bad a sinner like God says that they are in the Word of God. It will be the pride of man that rejects the sinless, pure, spotless blood of Jesus Christ that is the only thing that can wash away someone's sins. It is the pride of man that rejects God's only way of salvation, and that is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a church, not a religion, not works, but Jesus only. It is the pride of man that thinks his own good works or his own moral life will be good enough to save that person, contrary to what God says in the Word of God. Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Not your sins as filthy rags, but your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Those filthy rags are likened to filthy menstruous rags that women used to use. That's what God thinks about your good works, your righteousness. There is nothing good in any of us to get saved. There is nothing good that anyone can do to get saved. The only way for a person to be saved is to plead for mercy to the Lord Jesus Christ, for forgiveness of our sins, and to save our souls from hell, the place where every single individual is deserving to go for all eternity to pay for their sins in the lake of fire for all eternity and justly. If you do not believe that, you are in love with yourself, not God. If you do not believe that, you are full of yourself, not the Holy Ghost of God. If you do not believe that, you are on your way to hell and you need to be born again. It will be your pride that sends you to hell. God already made a way of escape. God sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross to pay for your sins so you wouldn't have to go to hell to pay for your sins. Salvation is not in the church as the Catholics believe, as the Mormons believe, as the Jehovah's false witnesses believe, or as a Seventh-day Adventist believe, or any other cult believes. Salvation is found only in Jesus Christ. Salvation is not found in any other religion. Like the Church of Christ says, you got to be baptized to be saved. That's not in the Bible. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Mary was a sinner. The Pope in Rome is the biggest, most wicked sinner on planet Earth. The Pope is a vicar of hell, and the reason people do not believe that is because either people do not read the King James Bible, or people do not believe or read the King James Bible. Any church or any denomination or any religion that teaches that you have to do something in order to go to heaven is not of God, but of Satan. When any individual thinks they are good enough to go to heaven or they are not bad enough, deserving of hell, they are not saved, and it is their pride that will doom them to hell for all eternity with no escape. Job 22:29 says, he shall save the humble. You have to lower yourself in God's eyes. Every person that has ever gotten saved is because they humbled themselves before a holy God, believed what a holy God said in the holy word of God about them. Then they changed their mind, they repented about how good they thought they were before, and they asked God for mercy to save their soul. It's that simple. Matthew 18:4 says, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Point number two, baptism by immersion. The only reason why born-again believers do not get baptized by immersion is because of pride. There is nowhere in the Bible where anyone was baptized as a baby anywhere. There is nowhere in the Bible that anyone was baptized by sprinkling. That is man-made religion, not Bible. Jesus got baptized in Jordan River by John the Baptist. They both went in the water. The eunuch in Acts chapter number 8 was baptized by immersion by Philip, and the Bible says they went down into the water. Any third grader would understand that. The Greek word for baptism means being covered. Lost people will be baptized by fire in the lake of fire because they refuse the baptism of God by the Holy Ghost to save their soul for salvation. So you're going to get baptized either by God or in the lake of fire. Anabaptists were tortured and killed all through the Dark Ages, and the only reason was because they believed the Bible and they refused to comply with the unholy Romish church requirement that all infants be sprinkled with water. Point number three. Independent, fundamental, separated Baptist church. The only reason why people do not faithfully attend an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, separated Baptist church is because of pride. That is the only reason. A church that is doctrinally sound and preaches the entire counsel of the Word of God is too convicting to the proud. Their pride is hurt when the preacher preaches against sin. It is too uncomfortable for someone full of pride. It is too harsh for someone who is close to the world. It is too strict for someone who is too loose. It is too old-fashioned for someone who is too modernized by society. It is too old-fashioned and too old school for someone trying to keep up with the times. It is too constricting for someone who prides themselves on their imagination. It is too overbearing to those who are too relaxed. It is too much pressure for those who are too lazy. It is too plain for those who like to dye their hair and paint their nails and paint their faces. It is too boring for those who are addicted to social media and wide screens and mobile phones. It is too straight-laced for those who want to expose their bodies to the public for attention. It is too much of a patriarchal system for feminists who hate God and real men. It is too detailed in naming sins for the sinner. It is too exposing of the names and naming of sin to those who enjoy living in the shadows of those sins. Its singing is too much of hymns and psalms and spiritual songs for the ungodly contemporary musical crowd that follows a worldly, ungodly Egyptian beat and rhythm of rock and roll and metal and heavy metal and soft rock and disco and rap and blues and country. Mark it down, ladies and gentlemen. I said country, don't worry. Mark it down, ladies and gentlemen. The only reason born-again believers do not attend an old-fashioned King James Version only Baptist church is because the preacher preaches against their sin and their pride is hurt and their ego is hurt. So they decide to leave and take their family somewhere where the spineless pastorette wants their attendance and their money more than their spiritual growth in Christ. That's why the evangelical churches are busting at the seams today. It's because of pride. It is filled with proud people run by spineless religious leaders who worship money and crowds, not the Lord Jesus Christ. They almost never preach on sin, almost never mention hell, almost never mention Satan, almost never go sowing, almost never preach on street corners. And I say almost because I don't know every single evangelical church, but I dare say 99.9% of them are. They almost never run buses, and on I could go. There will come a time sooner or later that you are not going to like a sermon or a topic that I preach about. And that will determine whether you are humble or not. If the preacher preaches the truth from the Word of God, something that is unpopular, what will your reaction be? What will your decision be? So many people have ruined their lives today because they made a decision on pride. They left their church and followed some heresy because of their pride. I said pride. And that is the absence of humility, where God says to be clothed with humility. The only reason people do not use a King James Bible is because of pride. The only reason people do not use an English version other than a King James Bible is because of pride. That's the bottom line. If you do not know why the King James Bible is the Word of God, it is because you are either recently saved, or you are too lazy to find out why, or you're too proud to obey God. It is that simple. Newly saved, and you haven't learned yet. You are too lazy to find out and study on your own, or you want something other than what God wants for you. The last two are nothing but pride. The first one is just ignorance because you just got saved. The last two are rebellion. Having said all that, I personally can live with differences and disagreements over subjects, over topics and methods. I have no plans on changing my Bible doctrine, my Bible standards, or my Bible methods, and my Bible principles for anyone. But I do understand how certain people see things slightly different than others. I can even fellowship with born-again believers who differ on certain issues. But the one thing I cannot and will not ever be able to fellowship with is someone who does not believe that the King James Bible is the inspired Word of God. I cannot think of a doctrine more important than the Word of God. So many once good churches have abandoned the King James Bible and Bible standards because they cared more about their ministry than they did about God and God's Word. I want to remind you that every Baptist and every Protestant congregation 125 years ago all used the King James Bible. Let me repeat that statement. Every single Baptist church, and Baptists are not Protestants, every single Baptist church and every single Protestant church in America all used the King James Bible 125 years ago, with no exception, because there was no other version around, except the Douay version, which was the Catholic perversion. Then, one by one, they started compromising. First the Protestants, and now even Baptists, and it's very sad. I left the church that I was baptized in after I got saved, and I joined another church when I found out about the King James Bible being the Word of God. Forget about the memories. Forget about the sentiments. Forget about the heartstrings. Forget about the friendships. Forget about the love, the counsel, the fellowship, the activities, the bonding, and everything else. God have mercy on you if you do not do the same thing. Amen. That you choose something else other than the King James Bible, ladies and gentlemen. That is not humility. I left my Greek Orthodox church because they teach a work salvation that damns people to hell, and they never once told me in 21 years that I needed to be born again like Jesus said in John chapter number 3. I had the priest come to my house. They talked to my mom. They talked to me. I talked to priests over my relatives' houses about salvation, and all of them, without exception, were more interested in their salary than what the Word of God said. They were all interested in their benefits and their money more than the truth of the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 10, the Bible says, "For the love of money is a root of all evil. Money is power and control, pride, boasting, ego, I, me, myself, self-centered, selfish. Your wants and your desires, not God's. Your dreams and your goals, not God's. Your preferences in life, not God's." I'll remind you something. The Bible is the Word of God. The Word of God is inspired. Baptists have no problem today, a lot of them, saying that the King James Bible is the Word of God. But if the Word of God is inspired, then why can't they say that the King James Bible is inspired? The hypocritical liars, that's why. They're political lawyers, religious lawyers, who know how to splice words and phrases and how to deceive the people sitting in pews. That is not humility when you don't give people the truth. Years ago, I think it was Bob Jones Sr., who put an inscription on his pulpit that no other English version would be used at this pulpit other than the King James Version. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it was his grandson who had it removed because in his pride, he must have thought that he was so much smarter than the old man. Now, that somewhat once good Methodist school teaches that there are errors and mistakes in the King James Bible 50 years later or 40 years. I'm sorry, it was only 25, 30 years ago that they did that. So here, 25 years later now, they teach that there are errors and mistakes in your Bible at a seminary and at a Bible college. The world thinks they're very ultra-conservative. The world thinks that they're right-wing. What you heard in the adult Bible study this morning is exactly what happened to Bob Jones University. And the same thing can be said of Tennessee Temple University, for those of you who understand this. So now they regularly use other perversions and translations in their classrooms and in their teaching. Pensacola Christian College in Pensacola, Florida, believed the exact same thing for years. And they still use perversions and translations in their classrooms. So many once good Baptist churches and Baptist colleges have fallen by the wayside and compromised to keep their crowds and keep the money flowing in their coffers. They care more about their alma maters, their name, their fellowship, their buildings, their property, their income, more than the Word of God. And then they get upset when preachers say something about it, and they think that we're proud and we have a chip on our shoulder. They want to muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. I'm appalled at the number of people who go to a church because it's the closest church. I'm appalled at the number of people who go to a church because it's a large church, has a lot of people, or because it has a certain ministry, or because of activities. But they never ask the pastor, and they never ask the staff if the church believes that the King James Bible is inspired. I would rather be found guilty of the worst sin and the worst crime on planet Earth instead of denying the inspiration of the King James Bible, ladies and gentlemen. I'd rather be found guilty of any sin than erring in the doctrines of the Word of God. One of my favorite places to visit and fellowship used to be places where now they have turned their backs on the inspiration of the Word of God. I cannot no longer go there. I can no longer visit in my good conscience. Anytime you think someone is humble or quiet, nice, mild-mannered, sincere, friendly, ask kindly some very pointed questions about salvation and doctrines and the Word of God, and then just see how loud and mean and upset and angry and unfriendly and dismissive they get when you ask pointed questions that they never want to discuss or even think about. If the day ever comes that this church ever denies the inspiration of the King James Bible, it is time for you to leave this church. Do not put one more penny in the offering plate. Go find yourself some storefront church, some house church, or some other fellowship of believers, and believe that this book is the inspired word of God. It's that simple. These people are wolves in sheep's clothing, not clothed in humility. Some of you folks need to sit in a courtroom and watch cross-examination to see how the truth comes out. My favorite cross-examination is a defense attorney, or the other side, depends who it is, being as polite as possible by asking pinpointed questions. And the witness turns to the judge and says, I don't want to answer that. And the judge rules, you must answer the question. And the witness says, I don't want to answer the question. And the judge says, you better answer the question. You're going to jail if it's a criminal court, or it's a civil trial, then it's going to be held against him if you don't answer. What you need to learn is cross-examination of religious leaders who are phonies, who do not believe the Bible is the word of God. But because they cloak themselves with garments and robes and they smile and they look pious, you think that's humility. And I'm telling you, it is not, ladies and gentlemen. I try to be friendly outside the pulpit. I try to be kind and courteous outside the pulpit. Do not mistake Bible preaching with my personal conduct of interacting with individuals. This is preaching, amen. I'm telling you, the vast majority of religious leaders are not humble people. They're liars cloaked in wolves, they're wolves cloaked in sheep's clothing. My Bible tells me that I'm supposed to warn you about them and rebuke the false leaders and their followers who love the world more than they love Jesus. How do you do that? It may not come across as humility. It may come across like a chip on the shoulder. It may come across as pride. But how do you do that when God commands me to warn the people about false leaders and false teachers? It is one of my jobs to show you how deceiving these false religions are and how deceived their followers are. It is usually those same people who are convicted about their sin who say that we are not humble, that we have a chip on our shoulder, that we have too much pride, that we act like we know it all, that we are causing so many people to leave God. On the contrary, those folks are not the humble ones when you disobey the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ in the very word of God. And you are not humble when you are not willing to admit that you are disobeying the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. The very first step in learning anything about God and the Word of God is first admitting that you don't know the Word of God as you should, but that you would be willing to conform to the Word of God when you find out what the Word of God says. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Chronicles chapter number 30, please. 2 Chronicles chapter number 30, Bible study time. 2 Chronicles chapter number 30. I have to hurry. My dear Stan is calling me. Second Chronicles, chapter number 30. Starting in verse number 1. And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh, that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. For the king had taken counsel and his princes and all the congregation in Jerusalem to keep the Passover in the second month. For they could not keep it at that time because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently, neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem. And the thing pleased the king and all the congregation. So they established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel from Beersheba even to Dan that they should come to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem. For they had not done it of a long time in such sort as it was written. So the post, you know, that's where you get the postman from. The mailman used to be called the postman, delivered letters of mail. So the post went with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah. And according to the commandment of the king, saying, ye children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hand of the kings of Assyria. And be not like your fathers and like your brethren, which trespassed against the Lord God of their fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolations, as ye see. Sort of similarity, don't you think, today, ladies and gentlemen? Now, be ye not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but watch this, yield yourselves unto the Lord, and enter into his sanctuary, which he hath sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. You think there's hope for America because of an election or two. You're not reading the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. No. You think there's going to be a revival in America because you read some poll about how many religious people in America. No, man. No, ladies and gentlemen. No. I gauge it by how many people are flocking to independent fundamental Baptist churches. That's how I gauge it. And the gauging isn't going very well, ladies and gentlemen. Because even God's people are too stiff-necked and rebellious today. Verse number 9. For if you turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if you return unto him. And that's what preachers are. That's what missionaries are. That's what evangelists are supposed to do. We're like posts, preaching the word of God and sending the letters out and telling people what the king said. So the post, verse number 10, so the post passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun. Sounds like 2014. But they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. Huh. Nevertheless, divers of Asher and Manasseh and of Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Some got saved. Some turned around. Some repented. Some believed. Some changed. Also in Judah, the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of the Lord. So just a remnant of the remnant. Verse number 13. And there assembled at Jerusalem much people to keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month, a very great congregation. And they arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem. The altars? Huh. The altars where they worship? Yeah, the first thing, you got to clean house, amen. Judgment must begin at my house, he said. Judgment must begin at the house of God, God says. And they arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, and all the altars for incense took they away and cast them into the brook Kidron. Then they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month, and the priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves and brought in the burnt offerings into the house of the Lord. And they stood in their place after their manner, according to the law of Moses, the man of God. The priests sprinkled the blood, which they received of the hand of the Levites. For there were many, watch this, there were many in the congregation that were not sanctified. Therefore the Levites had the charge of the killing of the Passovers for everyone that was not clean to sanctify them unto the Lord. For a multitude of the people, even of Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun, watch this, had not cleansed themselves, yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. You and I would not make sense of this because it doesn't make sense at first blush. You're not supposed to worship this way. They're not supposed to serve God this way. Why is God allowing this? But it's because the first step is coming back to God, not changing your life or fixing up your life. So even with all your sin in your life, even with all your rebellion in your life, even if with all your wickedness that you've done in your past, you can't change it, ladies and gentlemen, first. You've got to come to Jesus first so he can change it. This is not reformed theology where you're supposed to reform yourself. You come to Jesus and Jesus will have an operation of God on your heart. Amen. I didn't see them casting out, excommunicating members because of some sin. This is completely contrary to what we would think rationally or normally. God had very strict laws about even coming into the tabernacle, into the temple, and even for offering their offerings and the sacrifices. But you know Jesus, the Passover lamb, amen? But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, watch this, the good Lord pardon every one that prepareth his heart to seek God. the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. I don't care if you're messed up. I don't care what you did last night, this week. I don't care what you've done. What you need to do, you need to come to Jesus, amen. Preacher can't fix it. The church can't fix it, but Jesus can fix it, amen. And don't you ever stay out of church because you say, oh, I feel so guilty, or my conscience bothered. That's the reason why you ought to come to church, ladies and gentlemen. That's why they brought them here. They were in captivity. They were in bondage. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. You don't reform and change so you can come to church. You come to church so God will change you. You come to church so God will heal you. You come to church so the chains will be broken by Jesus himself. Amen. And the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord. But I want to remind you that the majority mocked the messengers. They laughed them to scorn. And you're going to feel your ego hurt. You're going to feel your pride hurt. You know what I suggest you doing? Being clothed with humility. Because being clothed with humility means that I want to line up with what God says. I don't care what everybody else says. I don't care what my friends think. I don't care what my family thinks. I want to care what God says. And I want to align everything I can with what God says. Of course, the people who mock the post, they say, well, you know, you're just being an obstructionist. You're always difficult. You know, nothing is right for you. Of course, that's what they said about the posts. They mocked them. They criticized them. They scorned them. Verse number 22, and Hezekiah spake comfortably unto all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Lord. I don't know about you, but most people in our church enjoy preaching, amen? It's always the people that come to church, that do not come to church, that don't like the preaching. Did you ever notice that? People in our church, I don't know, I love church, I enjoy church, whether I'm preaching or not preaching, to be honest with you. But we had some good guys preaching the last few weeks and months, amen? I've enjoyed the preaching, to be honest with you. I love to hear different fellows getting up and preach on Sunday night or Wednesday night, man. That's exciting to me. I don't need to hear myself preach. I want to hear preaching, amen. I want to hear the old-time religion, amen. I mean, I love that kind of stuff. It was great to be back in church where I used to go to. I was telling folks Wednesday night, I was in church in Grace Baptist Church in Jacksonville, North Carolina, when I was in the Marine Corps from 1981 to 1983. Those 2 years, 81, 82, and 83, 2.5 years, I sat in the same pew, and I didn't realize it until the Wednesday night I was in church there this last week. Wednesday night, I thought, as I was sitting in the pew, I said, wow. I was just, you know, reminiscing, you know. I thought to myself, I said, this is the same pew I sat in when the preacher announced that Lester Roloff had gone to heaven. At that time, I didn't know who Lester Roloff was, but the pastor was a good friend of Brother Roloff, and the whole congregation just gasped. I said, oh, somebody important just died. I was in that pew when I saw my wife getting baptized in the baptistry. I was in that pew the week after I buried my mom in Greece. I was in that pew when 241 Marines were killed in Beirut, Lebanon. And a couple of fellows in our church were killed. And I sat there and I said, wow. I never realized when I look back, those couple years had some very, very major, devastating circumstances in my life. Some good, some bad. That was a big impact on my life. I'm thankful I was in the right church at the right time. A church that used the King James Bible, believed the King James Bible, went soul winning, had buses, and had standards. That's why this church is named Grace Baptist Church, by the way. But not everybody liked that church. Verse 23, and the whole assembly took counsel to keep other 7 days, and they kept other 7 days with gladness. For Hezekiah, king of Judah, did give to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 7,000 sheep. And the princes gave to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 10,000 sheep. And a great number of priests sanctified themselves. And all the congregation of Judah, and with the priests and the Levites, and all the congregation that came out of Israel, and the strangers that came out of the land of Israel, and that dwelt in Judah, rejoiced. So there was great joy in Jerusalem, For since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem. Then the priests, the Levites, arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his holy hill, holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. Hey, you know what I'm saying? Get to the old-time church, amen. Get to an old-fashioned church, amen. You got to do that only clothed in humility, because your pride's going to be hurt sooner or later. Your ego's going to be hurt sooner or later. The preacher's going to say something. The Sunday school teacher's going to say something that's going to hurt you. It's going to offend you. But my Bible says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them, in Psalm 119, verse 165. And if you're clothed with humility, you won't even be offended if the preacher says something about you and says your name. When I was in Grace Baptist Church the whole time, you know, my wife and I, when we were dating, she was not saved. And all I can remember, the only thing I can remember, I'm being serious right now, being honest. I cannot remember any other sermon my preacher in North Carolina preaching other than saying, don't marry anybody that's not saved. Don't marry anybody that's not saved. Don't marry anybody that's not saved. I said, why does he got to preach on my sin every single service? You know why? Because he loved me. Didn't care if I left or not. He knew me. He knew. But also, that's the only thing I can remember. Thank God I had a faithful pastor. Thank God I had a faithful pastor who didn't care about my feelings, cared more about the Word of God. Take your Bible, please, or turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Do you love God this morning? I hope you do. I hope you do. I hope you're clothed in humility. We may not be right in everything, but I just want to be humble, amen? I want to be right in everything, but I want to be humble. Not the world's definition of humility, but the Bible's definition of humility. Acts chapter 20, verse number 18. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Too many people are too in love with their ministries than God. Too in love with their works than the Word of God. None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Verse 25, and now behold. Now, this is a man who is serving the Lord with all humility in verse number 19. Now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. All over the Bible, God says, humble yourself, humble yourself, humble yourself. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this. This is a man who is serving the Lord with all humility, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. This is the man who is serving the Lord with all humility. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember, and that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. A week or two or three ago, I was preaching a sermon Sunday night or Wednesday night. I said, 10, 15 points on how to select a new pastor in case you needed to. I said, one of the points is make sure that he is on record preaching a sermon on tape that you can hear that he preaches against Hiles Anderson College. 20 years ago, it would have been Bob Jones University and Pensacola Christian College. But today, we are forsaking preaching, serving God with humility, doing exactly what Paul told his congregation. Be careful, because some wolf is going to come in who can smile. He's got a deep baritone voice. He might be young and good looking, might be unshaven. He might be very courteous. He might even look like a Mormon. Might wear a white shirt and carry a black book and even have a King James Bible. There's more to it than that. I would, if I were you, put him on the cross-examination witness stand and ask him pointed questions politely. You know, when I went down to North Carolina to see my son, back then in 81 or 82, there was only about two or three Baptist churches, independent fundamental Baptist churches in the whole Camp Lejeune area. Today, there's about 8 or 10. And I didn't want to go to the church where I went to in 81, 82 just because of sentimental reasons. So I did what I think everybody ought to do. You go online to look for a church, amen? That's what I would do if I'm visiting somewhere, traveling somewhere. And I want to see what their website said. I looked at all the other websites of the church, and Grace Baptist Church, glory be to God, was still the only one that said that the King James Bible was inspired. I had other people tell me, well, why don't you visit this church over here? My friend is over here in this church, and he pastors that church over there. Thank God for a church that still believes that the King James Bible is the Word of God. Amen. Paul was serving the Lord with all humility. Paul named names in the Bible. Is that humility, ladies and gentlemen? You may think it's mean. You may think it's divisive. It's somebody who loves his people and wants to warn them from staying away from the wolves in sheep clothing. And he says in verse number 31, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I would rather have this book than this building. I would rather have this book than this church. I would rather have this book than all of you combined. I would rather have this book than all the money in the world. I would rather have this book than my house, my property, my car, and my money. I would rather have this book than my job, than my retirement, than my income. I would rather have this book than my mind, than my health, and my wits. I would rather have this book than more than anything else on planet Earth. I would rather have this book than applause. I'd rather have this book than being a full-time pastor with or without a salary. I would rather have this book than being in fellowship with those who do not believe it. I would rather have this book than friends. I would rather have this book than acquaintances. I would rather have this book than company. I would rather have this book than compliments. I would rather have this book than politicians liking me. I would rather have this book than religious people liking me. I would rather have this book than religious leaders liking me. I would rather have this book. I wrote it twice for some reason. I don't know why. I would rather have this book than my wife, my children, or my grandchildren. I'd rather have this book than any follower. I would rather have this book than any influence I can exert. I would rather have this book than a life of ease. I would rather have this book than a life of luxury. I would rather have this book than any comfort. I would rather have this book than any miracle. I would rather have this book than any healing. I would rather have this book than any prayer answered. I would rather have this book than any advantage in life. I would rather have this book than no problems. I would rather have this book than no controversies. I would rather have this book than no heartaches. I would rather have this book than no burdens. I would rather have this book than no strife. I would rather have this book than no difficulties. I would rather have this book than life itself. I would rather have this book than heaven itself. Because Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And without the word of God, there's no heaven. Let's all stand.